Conan O'Brien tweets, listen, if you don't know how to clearly dismember a body, then don't ask what I'd do for a Klondike bar. Trevor Noah, on one level, it isn't surprising that rich people avoid paying taxes. I mean, these are the world's elites. For them, life is like Waffle House after 2 a.m. There are no rules, but it's still eye-opening to see just what lengths they go to hide their wealth. They have offshore havens, they've got dummy corporations, they got teams of accountants. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but whatever happened to just putting your money in a big treasure chest and burying it in the sand? Let's get back to basics, people. Not having a tax problem because your tax laws are already so easy on wealthy people, that, my friends, is rock and roll. It almost makes me feel bad for American billionaires, though, because hiding the money is part of the fun. It's like trying to rob a bank, but they just give you the cash when you walk in. Ana de Armas was on Jimmy Fallon. She is fantastic in the new James Bond movie, by the way. She compared Michael Myers from Halloween, Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th, and Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars. She said, they're murderers. They're like bad people. This is bad people. She was describing the three characters as part of Jimmy Fallon's recurring Box of Lies segment. Upon opening the mystery box to see the figure sitting in a pumpkin hot tub, De Armas confessed that she really didn't know who these people were. After the reveal, she pointed to Jar Jar specifically and said, I don't know what that is. It looks like a shrimp to me. Did you watch Saturday Night Live? Your host, Kim Kardashian. Kim said, I know, I'm surprised to see me here too. I mean, I haven't had a movie premiere in a really long time. She made fun of herself, saying that she's more than a pretty face, and good hair, and great makeup, and amazing boobs, and a perfect butt. One thing she said she's not is a gold digger, something she had to ask mom Kris Jenner's boyfriend Corey Gamble how to become. Noting her sentencing reform work, helping to free innocent people from prison as she studies law, Kardashian said that her passion has her following in her attorney dad's footsteps. Robert Kardashian helped represent O.J. Simpson. Kim said, it's because of dad I met my first black person. Want to take a stab in the dark on who it was? Ouch. Kris Jenner and sister Khloe Kardashian popped up in a couple sketches, including one where Aidy Bryant and Kim switch bodies. Another sketch had Kim playing Jasmine to Pete Davidson's Aladdin. I enjoyed that sketch a lot. Switching to Weekend Update, Colin Jost said, internal documents show that Facebook knew their platform was used to spread hate and disinformation, but they hid the evidence. Colin Jost attended Harvard at the same time as Mark Zuckerberg. Joe said, now the weird thing is, I went to school with Mark Zuckerberg, and I was there when he created Facebook, and I feel terrible. Sometimes I wish I had a time machine so I can go back to college and find Mark and say, hey man, can I be part of your company? Facebook's also denying a report that's saying using Instagram can cause users to develop a negative body image, which explains their rival's new slogan, TikTok, bring your fat ass over here. Great joke. Michael Che said, this week Instagram was down for an entire day, forcing many Instagram addicts to fill their time with Twitter, TikTok, or hosting Saturday Night Live. Jimmy Walker, remember? Dynamite, J.J. Walker? You gotta be pretty old to even know what I'm talking about. He was on Fox News, your home for comedy news. He is talking about cancel culture. He says, I think comedy's going to be really rough for the next few years. Chappelle is lucky he's in a great position. I wish him the best of luck. He's obviously very talented. He's made a lot of money, and that's going to help him tremendously. That'll help him get past the cancel culture. I'm happy that he's doing what he's doing in terms of continuing on. That's what I'll say about that. I think we're at a point where you can't make jokes about certain things. It's going to change the whole face of comedy. I've said it on stage, but you'll never see another MASH. You'll never see another Jeffersons. You'll never see another All in the Family. Those days are over, ladies and gentlemen, so I guess we'll have to change up. This next story, not funny at all, except you'll see what's funny about it. From CNN, U.S. Marshals and Scranton police nabbed 9 sex offenders, not funny at all. Except the full headline is U.S. Marshals and Scranton police nabbed 9 sex offenders in Operation Dunder Mifflin. CNN adds, the operation was presumably named in honor of the hit sitcom The Office, which takes place at a fictional paper company named Dunder Mifflin in Scranton. You think that might be why they called it that? Kevin Hart was on the All the Smoke podcast. He spoke about Ben Simmons from the Philadelphia 76ers. Hart said, Ben Simmons is an effing star. We forgot about all the good he did. And he went on to say, wherever Ben Simmons ends up, the team will be getting a star. All right, take a break here. Chappelle, as always, on the second half, but I'm also going to spoil the heck out of season 2 of Ted Lasso. If you haven't seen the finale yet and you don't want to be ruined, you might want to skip the second half or at least bounce ahead to the Chappelle part. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Travel Is Back. That is a second podcast that I do. It's a casual travel podcast where I talk about places that I've been and what I like to do there. This week, starting a 5-week desert road trip. This week, Phoenix and Scottsdale. Next week, Sonoma. Then the Canyon. They're going to make our way over towards Albuquerque. Travel Is Back, wherever you get your shows. Bob Newhart enjoyed season 2 of Ted Lasso. Bob Newhart tweeted, "Ted is no Suzanne Plachette, but he'll do. Congrats on a great season, Ted Lasso." All right, going to spoil the finale here. If you don't want to be ruined, skip ahead. From Vulture, the very end of the Ted Lasso season 2 finale reveals that Nate Shelley, the shy former kitman turned assistant coach, has fully moved to the dark side of the Premier League. In the final scene, Nate stands on the field overseeing the players of West Ham United, a team now owned by Rupert, who used to own AFC Richmond and is team owner Rebecca's ex-husband. Now, if you were watching the season, did you notice as you watched that Nate was getting more and more gray hair? I started to notice it on the back end. The wife and I watched the final 2 episodes of the season on Friday night. We both liked the 2 last episodes. It felt a lot more like Ted Lasso in the middle there. Got a little dark. You had the funeral, some of the revelations about Ted's father. But these last 2, I like when the show's about soccer. But as I was watching it, I was like, is Nate getting gray? Vulture writes, on a first watch, it seems as though Nate, played by Nick Mohammed, went noticeably gray in the last couple episodes, but the transformation is much slower and much more subtle than that. The first hints of gray peek out from his temples and sideburns in Rainbow, which is the 5th episode of the season. By episode 7, that's the one where he verbally abuses both Colin and Will, the silver streaks have crept into his bangs. By episodes 10 and 11, he's got the full Clooney. Then in the last scene, it's all white, which not coincidentally makes for a perfect match with Rupert's gray hair and goatee. Vulture writes, it's odd that Nate's colleagues never acknowledge the change in his appearance. But that's the point. People tend to look past Nate a lot of the time, which is what makes him so angry. Nick Mohammed points out, even in season 1, there were signs that Nate is capable of selfish and nasty behavior. We've seen scenes over the years of Nate being a jerk to some of the younger staff members. Vulture writes, the other neat trick of the Nate arc is that his issues with Ted make him the human embodiment of a lot of the criticisms about the show. Nate is angry because he feels as if Ted has lost his focus on coaching, which is exactly what bugged a lot of Ted Lasso fans who wish the show had stayed more engaged with the actual football this season. You can count me in on that. A key reason Ted's eye has gotten off the ball, so to speak, is that he's been struggling with panic attacks. Now, part of the point of the whole season is that mental health issues should be discussed openly and not perceived as weaknesses, but Nate exploits Ted's anxiety as if it were a weakness, perhaps because that's how people have responded to him when he came across as uncertain or scared. Why does Ted deserve a pass when Nate has never gotten one? Nick Mohammed went on Twitter and he did a very thoughtful tweet. He said, don't read until you've watched the season finale, but here are a few thoughts on Nate and responses to your tweets. Nick wrote, the first time we ever see Nate, he's shouting at Ted. The roast from season 1 is fun and taken in good spirits, but you can see how much of a kick Nate gets out of laying into the players. It's payback time. When Nate first believes he's been fired at the end of season 1, he turns on Rebecca and calls her a shrew, a first glimpse into his nasty side. The hair color change was deliberate. I have flecks of gray that were painted out in season 1 and were painted more and more gray in season 2. The opening and closing shots of season 2 are the same, but in the final shot, the light in Nate's eyes has supposedly gone out, also scripted. The only scene solely between Ted and Nate in season 2 is in episode 12. The last scene before this was when Ted apologized for snapping at Nate in season 1, just before Nate delivers the roast in episode 7. Brilliant job by the writers on showing rather than telling just how abandoned Nate feels. The picture that Nate gave Ted for Christmas is next to Ted's picture of his son at home, which we get a glimpse of as Ted is getting ready for the funeral before his panic attack. I recall this being one of Bill Lawrence's ideas, and it devastated me when he first told me about it. And when Brendan Hunt casually told me their plans to have the Believe sign being ripped in two, I fell on the floor and screamed. It's been one hell of a roller coaster. Thanks for sticking with it and for your big support. Big love, X. X, presumably a kiss. From The Hollywood Reporter, Jacqueline Moore is a showrunner for Dear White People. Jacqueline spoke to The Hollywood Reporter about cutting ties with Netflix after Dave Chappelle's new special. Moore said censoring Chappelle is not what she's after. If anything, she wants people to know the realities of what life is like for trans and other LGBTQ folks who face discrimination, harassment, violence, and abuse on a regular basis. Jacqueline says, Dave's been making trans jokes for a long time, which is not to say they're fine, but often it's come from this comic persona that he puts on. It's a little Bugs Bunny-like, ain't I a stinker? Bits where he says something outrageous, then turns his back to the crowd or slaps the mic on his knee. Some of his trans jokes in the past felt to me, this is where they lived. I'm not excusing it, but previously it didn't hit me with the full weight of Dave Chappelle hates me. And I'm not to say he does, I don't know his heart, but it didn't hit me the way previously. It hit me as stupid or irresponsible, maybe even juvenile. There's another mode that Dave Chappelle has that's almost professorial. It's why he's brilliant, because he can break down the world for his audience. In The Closer, I feel this is where the trans material lands, because I feel like he was breaking down the world and I cried in a couple of moments specifically because of that. The one that broke me came when he was talking about Caitlyn Jenner, who, by the way, of course, is someone I'm not a fan of. He talked about Caitlyn Jenner winning a Woman of the Year award, saying that she'd only be a woman for about a year and never had a period. If he were a woman, he said, that would make him mad. It does make me mad, he said. A decent amount of the audience clearly agreed, and then he called himself Team Turf. Those moments broke me because it crystallized the feeling that they don't believe me. They think it's absurd when I call myself a woman. They don't like me. Isn't it absurd that you could be a woman and never have had a period? And isn't it absurd that someone who is not assigned female at birth could be a woman? To be honest, it's the same crap that people say to me, usually right before they throw me against a wall or throw bottles at me. Two things that have happened to me. It's the same rhetoric that inspires people to inflict violence on trans people, which itself is an epidemic. To hear someone saying, it makes me mad or it should make you mad, feels to me that he was trying to do something. I have no interest in canceling Dave Chappelle. That's not what this is about. This is about dangerous rhetoric coming from someone who once left a show because he was worried people were misinterpreting his material, and yet he doesn't see that people misinterpret these jokes. If I'm to grant the premise that Dave is not transphobic, then at least he's very naive to think that these jokes, and I hesitate to call them jokes, don't lead to actual violence. They do. They give voice to the idea that trans women aren't women, and it's laughable for them to consider that they are. If those are the parameters of a debate, it's going to get a lot of people killed. I want to be clear, Dave Chappelle should be free to say whatever he wants, and I should be free to say whatever I would like about him. Not to let Chappelle off the hook, but my bigger issue is with Netflix. This isn't a live special. It was filmed, finished, and people watched it, and nobody said, hey, are we sure this is good? Are we sure this is okay? Are we sure this isn't dangerous? What are the consequences of putting this out? Now, The Hollywood Reporter, put here in brackets, pauses as she's verbally harassed on the street. Continuing, I worked for Netflix for 4 years, and I told my coming out story for their Pride content this year. In doing that, I said, this is a place that cares about us and our community. Now watching The Closer, it's really hard for me not to feel like I can no longer confidently say that. As I posted, I've worked with so many people at Netflix who are brilliant, lovely, kind, caring, and want nothing more than do the right thing. So I don't know who approved it. But what I do know is there are enough trans people in these spaces because a trans person would have said, are we aware of the implications? That's your comedy news for today. Follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. If you want to comment, there's a Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Daily Comedy News Podcast, or hit the Instagram @Daily Comedy News. See you tomorrow.